Good morning, church. Pastor Byrne here. A big hello from me and my family. We have very much been missing getting together and worshiping corporately, and very much look forward to when we can do that again, as I'm sure many are. I've been experimenting this past week with some recording in my office at home, so I've added a song to the service for this week. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that you are encouraged by it.
Morning and welcome to our service this morning. So wherever you are, sitting in your bedroom, sipping a coffee by your sofa, maybe you're outside on the deck and you're just enjoying a beautiful day and just listening to the Word of God, and you're joining us through YouTube that way. Or maybe you're sitting right behind me here in the parking lot, and you're watching in the drive-in church. And so, welcome to this service. This morning, we're going to start by introducing a new series that we're going to call My Story. And what it is people sharing their story of how God impacts their lives on a daily basis, their story on how God has impacted their lives through their salvation experience, or those little God moments in each and every day. And so if you're interested in sharing your story, what God is doing in your life, then just let us know at the church and we'll arrange for you to be able to share your story. Your story, in fact, will be an encouragement to others who maybe are going through the same things that you've gone through. Maybe they're experiencing the very same things that you've experienced and want to know that there's somebody else who has gone through some of those same things, that someone else is experiencing or has experienced those same struggles and have seen how God has worked in and through that through your life. And so if you're interested in sharing your story, then please do. And this morning, Camille has been gracious enough to allow us to share her story.
My story is not mine to keep. My story belongs to God and it is to be used for His glory. My story may not be dramatic, but everyone has a story. Whether you were brought up as a Christian or whether you have only been a Christian for a few hours, your story and my story has power. Telling your story is one of the keys to communicating your faith in the modern world as it was in the New Testament. So my story. I grew up in a Christian home, knowing God's love and acceptance for me. What I didn't understand was what my value in Christ was. And so I searched for it from my peers. In my mid-teens, I began dating, and I put all of the value of who I was in the boy that I was dating. And I vowed to do whatever it took to keep that relationship going. Well, that led down some bad paths. I began wearing clothes that were too revealing. I pushed boundaries that I knew shouldn't be pushed, and eventually became sexually active before I was married. All this while seeking approval of other men throughout my dating relationship. And when that was over, I'd given everything that I was and had, and I still didn't feel like I was valued. So I have only discovered my true value and my true identity, or I guess maybe I should say I'm still discovering my true value and my true identity as an adult. And it didn't come from what people thought of me or how I feel. It comes from God. And He tells me that I am His daughter, that I am an heir to the throne, I am chosen, that I am holy and I am blameless in His sight, that I am redeemed, I am forgiven, I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, and I am of great value to Him. He knit me together piece by piece in my mother's womb. He knows how many hairs I have on my head. He loves me with an unconditional love. Now, do I struggle to believe these things? Definitely. Some days are way harder than others, but they are all true about who I am. My story is that I looked for an identity and for value from the world, but people. But God saved me and gave me value and an identity so much better than anything the world could ever offer.
This morning I'm starting a series called Lockdown. Now, up until a few years ago, the only thing that I knew about lockdown was based on what I saw in movies. One of those movies was Die Hard. It's a movie where a guy by the name of John McClane, he's played by Bruce Willis, and he's a New York City cop who goes on Christmas vacation to visit his wife, Holly. And Holly is living in Los Angeles. She's working at the Nakatomi headquarters. And so he goes down to this Christmas party, and he goes to the Nakatomi headquarters building for this Christmas party. And there's a guy that by the name of Hans Gruber and his men, they lock down this building. Everyone is taken hostage, and there's a heist attempt that's going on. Everyone, that is, except John McClane, because he's the hero in this story. John McClane single-handedly rescues these terrified hostages and saves the day. These people were trusting in this one man, this John McClane. They were hopeless or helpless to do anything about their situation, but there was this one man, and he was running around the building behind the scenes and crawling and ductwork and all kinds of things to stay concealed from Hans Gruber and his guys. And so that's pretty much what I knew about lockdowns. And then we began to hear more and more about lockdowns. They became a normal part of our conversation almost. We saw or heard about mass shootings. We heard about different scenarios in whether it was in schools and the schools were being locked down, or university campuses or towns or buildings, and they were being locked down due to some violence. Something was coming, some violence was coming on them, and they were in lockdown to try and protect them. It wasn't long ago, and schools began practicing lockdown drills. It's becoming part of our normal language, and now, if you listen to the news or any type of information about what's going on in the world today, you will soon hear somewhere along the way that we are in a lockdown over this COVID-19 pandemic. Now, people respond to lockdowns in different ways. There's many emotions that go with people as they're going through the lockdown. Some people are experiencing worry, anxiety, fear, anger. Some feel hopeless. Others see hope. Some people are feeling extremely insecure. Some people are annoyed. Some people are discontent. Some people are selfish. Some people are being selfless. Some people are loving, kind, and generous. Others experience panic and indifference. People respond with many emotions, and some of us will experience all of these emotions maybe in the same day. Maybe we experience these same emotions during the same week, in fact, or maybe we experience them all in the same hour, but we do experience some or maybe even all of these emotions as we are in a lockdown. The lockdown can bring out the absolute worst in people. Lockdown can bring out the absolute best in people. Lockdowns very quickly reveal a person's true identity. Very quickly, lockdowns reveal a person's character. They reveal how you and I respond in a lockdown. And it's revealed through where we have put our faith. We reveal very quickly where our faith is placed. And who sees this? Who sees this is the people in the church. Who sees how we respond is seen by the world, by those people not yet saved, not yet disciples of Jesus. So what message are you and I sending to those people who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ? Let's just pray this morning before we get into it. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we lift up our hands, we worship you, we glorify you, our risen Lord and Savior. Lord God, we thank you that we can come and we can worship. Even though it's unique and it's in different ways, we can come and we can worship you, our risen Lord and Savior, and we thank you for that. This morning, as we look into your word and we get a little bit of an understanding how people respond from the Bible in lockdown situations, how should the church respond to lockdown situations? And so, Father, would you teach us from your word this morning? And we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I'm beginning our series, and it's called the Lockdown Series. Today's message is called The Source of Life in the Lockdown. And of course, God is the source for life. I want to start by looking at the end of the Israelite 40-year lockdown in the desert. They're at the doorstep of Canaan, the land that God had promised to them. The land was promised to them. And so the question can be, well, why if this land was promised to them, why aren't they entering the promised land? Why are they having to wait if this was promised? Why did they have to wait 40 years? Was this some kind of penance that they were having to do in order to be able to enter? You know, wander around for 40 years and then you do a couple nice things in this 40-year wandering and you get the blessing of going into the promised land? Well, no, that's not what this was about at all. The reason they were wandering for 40 years was due to their lack of trust in God Himself. There was no reason for them to have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. They could have, in fact, instead of spending 40 years wandering in the desert, they could have, in fact, already have been in the promised land that God had promised them. But because of their pride, their lack of trust, their lack of faith in God, they had to wander in the desert and miss out on 40 years of blessing because of their lack of trust and faith in God. It was their stubborn unbelief that kept them locked down in a dirty desert for 40 years. And of course, we're picking up the account. You know, they're right on the doorstep. They're about to go into the promised land. They've been locked down in the desert for 40 years, and it's time to enter the promised land. Deuteronomy is a series of messages that Moses is giving to the Israelite people to prepare them to enter the promised land. Moses is addressing this new people and that are going to be going into the promised land, and he's doing it for a couple of different reasons, and we're only going to look at a couple of, or he's actually doing it for quite a few different reasons. We're only going to look at a couple of those reasons this morning. And part of his reasoning, part of his rationale for doing this or preparing these people is so that they remember God's care in the past. Remember God's care, how he looked out for you, how he is the source of life in your lockdown situation. Also remember the implications of obedience and remember the implications of disobedience. God is faithful. Be faithful to God. Their faith, trust in God has been an issue in the past. And I believe God's desire is, and He does, give them opportunity to learn from their mistakes. And so Moses is going through this list of stuff, how God has been the source for them in all of life. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your forefathers' mistakes. The people that were going into Canaan now, they're actually a whole new generation. prior to going into the desert lockdown, God had told the people already, he had told them, go take possession of the promised land. But at that time, earlier on, 40 years previous to this, they had refused. This was land that God had promised to them, and they had refused to go because they were putting their trust and faith in themselves, not in God Himself. They saw obstacles. They saw giants that were getting in the way. Do you remember that song? I don't know if you ever learned that song in Sunday school or VBS. You know, some saw giants tough and tall. Some saw grapes and clusters fall. You know that song? It was probably sung a lot better than that and on key and all of those things. But that's what ultimately, that was their fear. They saw these people that were huge. How can we take them? How can we conquer them? But God had told them, this is your land. This is your opportunity. And so because of their lack of faith, because they didn't trust God, for this reason, God told the people that because of your unbelief, you're not going to enter the promised land. You're not going to enter the promised land. Your children will, but you won't. And so everyone 20 years old and older at that time would have to die in the wilderness before the next generation would be able to enter. And so this sets the stage for today's sermon. So at this time, I'll just invite a friend of mine up, and she's going to read the scripture this morning. So Izzy, why don't you come on up and read the scripture for us?
Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry, then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good.
The desert was a wasteland. It was dry. There was no water. There's poor soil conditions. Like, humanly speaking, this is the worst place possible that you would take a massive group of people and put them in there to hang out for 40 years. There is nothing there. There is nothing there to be able to sustain the life of one or two people, never mind somewhere between 2 million and 2.5 people. So why does God take them there? Where there's no food, where there's no water. Why does God take them there? Does he know what he's doing? That's the question that many of us ask when we're walking into our wilderness experience or an obstacle or a crisis that comes along in life. Where is God in this situation? Why would he lead me into a place like the wilderness, like this desert? It's very purposeful to allow them to wander in this type of a place. You see, when you can't grow crops, when you have no water source, you have no way to get a water source, you have no way to have crops, you don't have a store down the road. So some of the really important things right now that are staring you right in the face are starvation and dehydration. That's a big reality for these people. But God wanted to reveal to these people that in no uncertain terms, God is the source of life. Verse 2 begins with, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. Remember, look back, think of the past, how he was with you in these 40 years. God is the source of life in that time. God is the source of blessing in those 40 years. And of course, forgetting was a legitimate concern. These Israelite people, they continually forgot what God had done for them. And back in the beginning of Deuteronomy, Moses is going through remembering exactly what your parents went through as they crossed the Red Sea, when they got into the desert and how God provided manna for them. And yet, in no time at all, they forgot all of these things and they began to worship other gods. This is what was happening in the lockdown that they were put into. And so, God has put this message on Moses' mind, it's a very real message. It's legitimate to tell them, remember how God led you. Remember how God kept you. As I have gone through a few crises in my life, maybe obstacles in life, and I get through an obstacle, and even now when I look back at some of those challenges, those wilderness experiences that I've walked through, I can see God's fingerprints all over it. Where was God in my wilderness? It doesn't take very long to see his fingerprints written all over my story. The interesting thing is that when the next crisis drops in, I'm ashamed to say that sometimes I panic. Sometimes I'm afraid. Sometimes I get filled with anxiety, forgetting God's fingerprints of the past. So it makes sense to be reminded of how God led these people each and every day. Now, God didn't, when he talks about God led them each day, it's not, God didn't simply just check in every Tuesday or the third Tuesday of the month, he'll check in and see how these people were doing. He was with them every step of the way. In fact, every day he provided manna for them, except, of course, on the Sabbath. They were to store enough for 2 days. God provided rock. What was the, God provided water. What was the source? I already gave you the answer. It was the rock. Each and every day, there was a reality that God is the source of life. Each and every day, the pillar of fire would warm them, provide light in this desert. Every day for those 40 years, the cloud would cover them from the intense heat. God was with them each and every day. He led them. And when the next crisis arises, the next obstacle stands in our way, we need to remember God's faithfulness in the past. And that's what he's telling, Moses is telling the children of Israel. He's telling them, remember the past. Remember how God led your forefathers out of Egypt, out of this oppression. How he took them out of this oppression that was on them and led them into, and he was going to lead them into this promised land. How he did so many miraculous things along the way. God was active. He led. He was with them in every day. Remember, this was a time when God shaped your character through the challenges that you were experiencing. My question to all of us is, will you and I trust God? Will we humbly submit to Him to be the source, our source of life? These Israelites struggled trusting God as they, you know, almost the moment they left Israel, they struggled almost the moment they left Egypt. And of course, that's why they ended up spending the 40 years in the desert, because of their unbelief, because of their struggle. And they're being encouraged. Remember the blessings of the past. Let that be a reminder that God is the source of life in the present, and that God is the source of life and blessing in the future. Now, who fed you? It's a simple question. Who fed you? God did, every day. Where'd you get water from? God gave us water. And in verse 4 goes on, he says, your clothes didn't wear out. Remember, your clothes didn't wear out. You didn't even get blisters on your feet. Your feet didn't even swell up. All of these small things, you may have neglected to be thankful for or recognize that God was the source of blessing in those areas. God was the clothing manufacturer that made long-lasting clothes. 40 years with the same clothes, and they didn't wear out. Think of the desert conditions. The wandering, the heat. I mean, this alone would have kept hundreds of podiatrists busy 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, had God not been the source of their blessing. Every one of them would have needed some feet care at some point. But God cared so much about each and every part of their life. He is the source of life. He cared about their feet. He cared about their hunger. And in these conditions, they had nothing to do but to trust Him, because they had nothing even to rely on themselves for any of this. This 40-year lockdown was a huge teaching opportunity. And every roadblock, every obstacle that we come upon is an opportunity that God desires to teach us, to shape us, to build us, build our character, to purify us. And so when we're walking in our desert, when we're going through obstacles, when we're experiencing crisis, are we pushing back? What are we doing when we experience those difficulties in our time? God used these wilderness experiences, these challenges, these crises in their lives to reveal Himself, to reveal who He is. And He also revealed the limitations of mankind. And He does this by revealing their inability to look after their basic needs, like feeding themselves, getting water, putting clothes on. Verse 2 goes on and says this, humbling you and testing you to prove your character, and to find out whether or not you would obey His commands. Yes, He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God's desire is that mankind would see Him as the source of life, as the source of all blessing. Pretty sure that we all wonder at times why God allows us to go through valleys. Why does He allow us to be in that desert at times? Why are we allowed to go through crisis? And it doesn't end in just a day. Some people go through a wilderness of years, months, weeks. And I believe the purpose is spelled out very clearly here. Firstly, it's designed to bring us to the end of ourselves, to humble ourselves. Secondly, testing reveals our character, our integrity. It reveals who or what we trust in crisis. But also, Moses' concern here was for the future, for the prosperity that they were going to experience. Remember all of these things because you're going into the land that has much good stuff. You're not used to having good things. You're not used to having really good food and abundance of crops and abundance of water, all of those things. And Canaan was some of the richest land that produced some of the richest vegetation there is. And so we're led to go through these wilderness experiences, these crises, to prove our character. Who do we trust in? Do we trust in God as a source of life? He also did it to teach the people about a little bit more about bread. When he says, you don't live by bread alone. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna. This is a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. Here's the key. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. How do we live? By every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What he's saying here, it's kind of like, it's hard to understand. It can be hard to understand or grasp this kind of language. But what he's saying is here, is there's far more than just food for your physical body. There's far more to mankind than just your mere physical needs. Warren Wiersbe said, feeding the inner spiritual person is far more important than feeding the physical body. God wants you to trust Him as the source of, as your source of life and blessing. He wants to meet all of our needs, physical, emotional, and spiritual. He cares about our physical needs, but He is far more concerned about our spiritual condition. Manna was a miraculous provision from God each and every day, and they were to recognize their daily need and dependence on God. But this bread was only temporary. It had limited value. And when the food fades away and when we fade away, our need for physical food passes. There will be a time where we simply don't need it. But what we need then is we need some assurance about our spiritual life. In Matthew 4, verse 4, and the Old Testament, this whole language about bread and being fed, it might be a little bit foreign to us because especially in our land of Canada around me, most people have an abundance of food. Food is not starvation or hunger. Going hungry isn't something that we're really used to. We don't know what it means. I mean, in 4 hours, if we're going hungry, we often say, oh, I'm starved. That's not what it is. And so sometimes it's hard for us to grasp, but these people, these cultures, they understood what it was like to be hungry, to need to be fed. And so that's why they use this language. And Jesus uses this language in Matthew 4, verse 4. And Jesus, he's being led into the wilderness, into the desert, and to be tempted by Satan. And he quotes Deuteronomy verse 8, verse 3, when Satan tempts him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Now here, Jesus understands that physical food is secondary to our spiritual hunger. The point Jesus makes is that man is to accept in, trust in everything that God ordains and not to take things into his own hands and act apart from his will. Rely on me for your physical needs. But remember, those needs are only temporary. Trust in, rely on me for your spiritual needs. Jesus used the spiritual resources that are available to us today. Those same spiritual resources that were available to Jesus when he was tempted are available to us today. The Word of God, he used Scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, Jesus speaks of this, of being the bread of life. In John 6:32-36, it says this, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did." Why is Jesus telling him that? Why does he start out this way? "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did." Well, these people, they would have known Deuteronomy. They had the Scripture to that point. And so they would have known how this bread came. It wasn't from Moses. It was from God. "My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread of heaven." The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Well, that's some pretty interesting language. But Jesus is talking about a bread that is far greater than bread that God gave the Israelites in the desert, because that was feeding their physical hunger. And of course, the crowd is eager. They want this bread. They want to eat from this bread. They, you know, "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day. We want to experience that bread." And that's when Jesus reveals himself as the bread of life. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Here Jesus is revealing his divine call. And he's also revealing that a human response is necessary in people coming to faith. He's challenging them. If you do believe in God, then by faith believe in me also, Jesus is saying. And in verse 36 he says this though, "But you haven't believed in me even though you have seen me." In Deuteronomy, we already see the stage being set for the coming deliverer, Jesus. You're already introducing, God is already introducing that language that he is the bread of life God was referring to back in Deuteronomy 8. In Jesus, we have life. We have new life. It's about a spiritual relationship. Through Jesus, his shed blood on the cross, his resurrection, we have new life. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ that we find satisfaction for the spiritual hunger. Like manna, the physical bread God provided for their daily physical needs, Jesus is that spiritual bread for us. "Whoever comes to me will never again have a spiritual need because I have come in the fullness of God." Bread satisfies our physical hunger, and so too does the Word of God satisfy our spiritual hunger. When we are feeding on the Word of God, it fills our hunger, and it also removes our appetite for worldly lusts and pleasure. Do you see that? Do you see what happens when we're being satisfied, when we're being filled spiritually? Then those worldly hungers, the hunger for fame, for fortune, for lust, for personal gain, it all falls by the wayside because we begin to recognize and see what God has provided in his Son Jesus, and that it's a spiritual awakening, a spiritual new life in him, and it's satisfying. It's completely satisfying. And it was satisfying in the past, it is satisfying present, and oh my goodness, it is satisfying in the future. Those lusts, when we're spiritually full, those other needs that we search for, that we hunger for, that we lust after, they're no longer there. They're gone. He fulfills our needs. The desert experience was God revealing Himself as the source of life. And His desire was that each person would personally trust Him for all of their needs. Is God the source of your life? Verse 36 says this, "But you haven't believed in Me, even though you have seen Me." Would it be fair to ask the question in light of these verses, does our falling apart in a lockdown in our desert, when we experience obstacles, mean that we haven't believed this Jesus that we have seen revealed in the Word? Maybe you believe, but you've taken to worshiping idols. What if God is allowing you to go through that wilderness, to be locked down, maybe in whatever crisis, for the purpose of changing you entirely forever, to bring about a new normal in your life? Isn't it interesting that when we go through crisis, when we go through obstacles, when we're in our desert, when we're in our wilderness experience, and I've said this myself, I just want things to go back to normal, to the way they were. Do you ever think that God has absolutely no desire for us to go back to the way we were? He desires far more than to be the way we were. The purpose, the reason we're allowed to go through these lockdowns is God wants to mold us, to shape us, to refine us, to purify us, to change us permanently, so that we continue to trust in Him more completely, that we surrender more of our lives to Him. Do you see God as your source of life? And don't just answer that with a flippant, yes, 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 He's my source of life. What does that mean to you? What does that mean in your life? How has it changed? If God is the source of your life, how has it changed your life? How then has it changed how you go through crisis? How has it changed how you live through the desert experience or go through the lockdown? What if in that crisis, what if in that desert, you humble yourself completely? What if we were to surrender every area of our lives? There's some things that we really don't want to surrender because it costs too much. Whether it's costing us friends, whether it's costing us joy, we don't want to surrender every area of our lives. But what if we did? What if we surrendered everything? How would that change our experience when we're going through the wilderness, when we're going through the desert, when we're in the lockdown? How would that change us? How would that change our response if God is our source for life? He is our everything. How does it change our mission in life? What are you and I holding on to? What do we need to surrender A lot of times we view the desert experiences, the challenges that we face, we view them as punishment. How would that change if instead of looking at them, look at our desert experiences as through that they're coming from a loving Father desiring to instill godly characteristics in us, to mold us, to shape us into men and women of integrity. Rather than viewing them as God punishing us. What does that look like in my life? What does it look like when we rely on God as the source of our life? Everything else fades. God becomes more. We get into the Word. Stop going to the gospel of Facebook and get into the Word of God, the true gospel, and get to know Jesus. That will change. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So go to the source of the bread of life, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we close and we see how the Israelite people responded to the lockdown, they struggled. And yet God was with them each step of the way. He led them. And you desire to lead us. And so, Father, I pray that we would allow you to lead us in every area, that we would humble ourselves, and that we would surrender every area of our lives to you, that you will lead us in lockdown. You will lead us in crisis. It won't cripple us. It won't deflate us. It won't cause us to respond in harsh, unloving characteristic, but we will be able to show the love of Jesus to others. So God, thank you that you reveal through your Word the responses that we need to going through our wilderness, through going through our lockdown. Thank you that you provide this for us. So I pray this week as we go from here, as we go into our everyday lives, as we experience crisis, as we experience obstacles, that we would continue to remember your faithfulness in the past, that we would remember your faithfulness presently. As we look to the future, you will be our source of life and blessing. Father, we thank you for all these things and pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And with that, I wish you all the best this week. May the Lord bless you as you go through your week and look forward to seeing you next week.